in Christ. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Is there a particular place in which you would pray? Now granted, depending on the season, you might have to change where it is you pray. If it's not someplace indoors, you know, if you like having a particular place under a tree, maybe in a hammock, or if there's a particular restaurant that has seating outside that you enjoy playing or reading the Word, you might have to change that during the winter months. Yesterday, though, it felt pretty good to be outside. I was in a t-shirt, and it felt good for a change. It's been too long. You can feel the breeze. And we are not necessarily commanded where to pray. Granted, Jesus does say that we should go and not be like the Pharisees, that we should be praying for attention. He even says it so far as to go inside and lock the door in the room. But what that means is that we are not to be praying for the attention. We are to be praying for the sake of praying and having communication with God our Father. We're also called to pray continually. And so this means that we can pray anywhere. We can pray inside, we can pray outside. You know, may not want to do it if it's 3 below by the wind chill factor. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. Even the other pastors of the area do this. Pastor Emmerich and some of the others I've heard on summer afternoons will get together and do Bible studies out on his porch. Out on his deck. Wherever it is that you pray, you generally expect what you pray about to remain between you and God. You wouldn't expect somebody else to know what it was that you were praying about, would you? But what if somebody did know what it was that you were praying about, even though they had been nowhere near? What would you think about such a person? What kind of conclusion might you draw about that kind of person? I imagine you would recognize that the person had some kind of outside help, most likely from God. Today, there isn't much need for prophets as there was before Christ came. They had to tell about Christ coming in the Old Testament, but now Christ is come. And he's already told us the things to be watching for at the end times, so there's really no need for a prophet these days. But prior to Christ coming, there was plentiful need for prophets. And even Jesus himself filled that role. Consider his three roles, prophet, priest, and king. The first one was prophet. In our gospel section this morning, Jesus demonstrates his prophetic nature to Nathanael. So come and see what the Lord has to tell you in our gospel text this morning. Now right before our text, John records the collecting or the gathering of two of the disciples, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. In our text this morning, Jesus calls yet another disciple, Philip. He says to him simply, follow me. And Philip does. Sometime following that calling then, Philip calls to Nathanael, and he says to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. To this final description, Nathanael voices it out, whether anything good did come from Nazareth. And as I tell the children, he says simply, come and see. That is the best and hardest advice in doing any kind of evangelism, outreach, or mission work. It is the best because there is not one thing you can do to make, force, or coerce someone else to believe in Jesus as the Christ, believing in God's word. You cannot argue a friend, a relative, or neighbor into faith. The one thing you can do is to tell him or her, come and see. Come and see what God's word has to say. Now, a new believer may have questions or a hard time with some of the things that God's word has to say. But can that person find him or herself in the words of God? Can he or she see a sinner when in the reflection of God's mirror and his law? And if so, then hopefully the person will also, by the Spirit, see the need for a Savior and the fact that that Savior has come. But on the hard side, just because one comes and sees does not mean that he or she will come to faith, that they will come to faith, that they will automatically believe. Some will reject for the Word, for that, this reason or that. It may be something to do with like they don't like to hear that they are sinners, or it might be something else that they discount as their own authorities or their own intellectual master cannot believe or cannot grasp. They choose not to. To put it simply, they refuse God's word. But this does not necessarily mean that we should give up on that person. What we are looking for is what happened to Nathanael. Nathanael came to see Jesus, but with his own baggage. He had every doubt that something or someone good could come from Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He asked Philip. Despite his reluctance, Nathanael takes Philip up on his offer to come and see. And even before he arrives, Jesus sees him coming and says about him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." In other words, Jesus already knew Nathanael's character. He knew that he was an honest person. Now, the scriptures are not very clear as to whether he was blunt or if he just told him as he saw him. But either way, Jesus was not lying when he told about Nathanael that he was a person without deceit. The appraisal of Nathanael intrigued him. How did Jesus know about him? And here we receive some of the basics for which we know that Jesus was God. The omniscient God. Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Now many of the commentators on this passage have written that probably meant that Nathanael was either studying the scripture or praying at the time. Now again, it doesn't say explicitly in scripture that that was the case, but yesterday afternoon, it might have been very nice to go out and be under a tree and studying God's word or praying. But Jesus demonstrates his all-knowing nature in these words. He knew Nathanael had been thinking about the Messiah to come, and possibly even praying about it. And he replies in such a way that Nathanael can only reply in faith. And that is what we hope for all who come and see here at God's church. We want them to hear the Lord's tone, for his word to take root in them and create faith. But faith in what? Even unbelievers would say that Jesus was a great prophet. They may even admit that he was able to perform some miracles. So just what exactly is it in which we place our faith? Is it that Jesus could see Nathanael under the fig tree? Well, yeah, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. That might be a good start. That Jesus must have been God for him to see Nathanael under that tree, to have that omniscience, that all-knowing nature. Well, again, that's still a good start, but there's more to it than that. At least that's what Jesus tells Nathanael. Once Jesus has revealed that he had seen Nathanael under the fig tree, Nathanael replies to the faith that Jesus is the Son of God, the King of Israel. And Jesus was kind of baffled. He says, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You will see greater things than these. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." That, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is the illusion to what we place our faith in. That which we know others that we might bring into the church who put their faith in. That Jesus is the Messiah, the one who is to come, the one in whom Simon Peter and Andrew and Philip and Nathanael would see much greater things to come. They shall see the redemption of sins for all sinners, and that is what we desire for all to be able to see. As easy it is to hear and as hard as it is to hear, that's all that is needed for doing outreach or evangelism or mission. Come and see. Some will come to faith and some will not. But those who do, we rejoice. And with those who do not, we keep trying. But knowing that the scriptures tell us that not everyone will believe, that some will reject God's word. The only thing we can do is to follow Philip's example. Tell them to come and see who this Jesus is. Even if they have a doubt whether anything good can come from Nazareth or even from the church, tell them, come and see. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful to the life everlasting.